Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation.
The top 6 ways to save money at Disney World. Hi, I'm Herb Leibacher, and welcome to episode number 87 of the World of Walt podcast. Make the most of your Walt Disney World vacation for the week of August 28th, 2016. This is the podcast for Walt Disney World fans. Whether you're planning your next trip or just enjoy reliving a little bit of Disney magic. Today, the podcast is sponsored by Ear to Their Travel. If you're planning a trip to any Disney destination, give Phil at Ear to Their Travel a call. Phil is a former Disney cast member, so he really knows how Disney works. He can help you plan all the details of your next vacation at no extra cost to you, while making sure you get the best deal on your trip. You can reach Phil at eartotheirtravel.com. Well, I would argue that Disney, even with recent price increases, is a good value for the money. That doesn't mean that it isn't also expensive. Between travel, food, hotel, tickets, and extras, it's normal for a Disney vacation to jump into several thousands of dollars. Fortunately, there are many choices you can make to keep the price of your Disney vacation down. So today, we're going to take a look at the top 6 ways to save money at Disney World. To help me explore this topic, I'd like to welcome a former Disney cast member and a very savvy Disney vacation shopper, Aaron Cohen. Aaron, welcome back.
Hey, thanks for having me back on.
So Aaron, I understand you've been making plans for a trip recently, so a lot of this is probably top of mind.
Oh yeah, every time I plan a trip, there's a lot of research and work involved. And by now, I've done it so many times, and I know it all so well that I can kind of pick and choose. I mean, I know the options. I know kind of what I want even going in. But there's always research to be done, and there's always looking at different options, and, you know, some of which we'll get into, to really maximize the what you're getting for your money when you're at Walt Disney World.
Yeah. There are a lot of different levers you can pull to change the prices, and I think this will be a good conversation to help people think about some of the choices they can make if they're looking to save a few bucks on their trip.
Yeah, there's a lot of choices to make, so yeah, hopefully this will help a little bit.
Definitely. Okay, so before we get into the topic, the beloved warm-up question for today is, what is your favorite time of the year to visit?
I'm gonna say this because currently I live outside of Boston. So as a result, it is quite cold here for several months out of the year. So I kind of like early in the year, January, February, March-ish, because it's a break from the cold. By this point, you know, because I've gone February a few times now over the past handful of years, and one of the last times I went in February, it was cold and there was snow on the ground here, and there were blizzards happening, and it was pretty miserable. So getting away for a week and getting out of Florida where it was sunny and it was warm, it's a nice getaway. The caveat to that is that because the winter time is so much slower down there, which is good because it means, you know, generally less crowds. Often that's when they're doing maintenance and renovations, so some things might be closed. But yeah, I would say kind of that late winter get away from the cold for a week or so time frame is my favorite right now.
Mm. That's a good choice. As a local, that's one of my favorite times to go to the parks because, as you said, the crowds are down. It's still, you know, pretty nice weather Florida-wise. It does get dark a little bit earlier. Some of the attractions are down for renovation, as you said, but usually the crowds are down too, and it's a fun time to visit. That's definitely one of my favorites. I also really like to visit the parks in early December, so the crowds for Thanksgiving are typically gone. The folks coming in for Christmas and New Year's haven't arrived yet, and yet all of the decorations are up, and I think people are in a very festive mood. So early December can be a good time. It's a time that's hard for a lot of folks to get there because maybe they had just taken time off for Thanksgiving or they're saving up their vacation for the end of the year. But for those who are able to get away in early December, that's a really nice time to visit too.
Yeah, I mean, obviously anytime you're at Disney World is great because you're at Disney World, but I do try to avoid the summers just because of the crowd and because of the weather. It can be oppressively hot.
Yeah, for sure. We know how to do heat and humidity and rain all together. So
all the same day.
Yeah, you get to experience it all. That's right. Okay, good. So let's get into our list, the top six ways to save money at Disney World. And Aaron, number one's over to you.
So my first one is kind of a two-parter, and it's something I don't think people realize they can do, and that's bring snacks in with you. Now, don't get me wrong. I love the snacks at Walt Disney World. I love the Mickey's Premium Ice Cream Bars. I love Dole Whip Floats. Last time I was at Disneyland, I think I had churros for breakfast half the time. So I'm a big fan of Disney snacks. But they're expensive. I mean, maybe not individually, but cumulatively. If you're buying, you know, a couple Mickey bars a day or whatever, that's, you know, that adds up. So maybe throw some granola bars in a bag or in your pocket. Maybe grab a protein bar and toss in there some dried fruit. If you're carrying a bag with you, you can bring those in. I think people see the bag check and think, we can't bring stuff like that in. And that's not the case. I mean, they don't care. You can do that. So maybe if you throw in, you know, a granola bar in your bag and have that, you know, it'll curb the munchies and maybe it'll cut down. Maybe you'll only get one Mickey bar instead of two that day or something like that. I will recommend, because it can get hot and sunny, don't go with chocolate-coated granola bars because that can get messy. But yeah, bring some snacks. And also, too, if you're traveling with children and the kids are getting kind of hungry and unruly, it could be a great way to maybe get something, you know, in their stomach and calm them down a little bit without having to go wait in line and spend some more money. Mm. And the offshoot of that is getting ice water at the restaurants, at the quick service restaurants. And a lot of people, you know, will buy bottles of water at every stop because they want to stay hydrated, which is great. You definitely want to stay hydrated. But only people realize that they can just go up to a quick service counter and get a glass of ice water for free. There are water fountains all over the parks, which obviously you can stop and just drink out of a water fountain, but sometimes you just want a really ice cold cup of water. So yeah, go up and ask for a cup of ice water. You know, and if you want, what I tend to do is carry a water bottle with me and fill it up at water fountains. So if I'm standing in line and I've got some downtime where I want to just, you know, I can actually have a moment to myself to breathe, I've got water with me to rehydrate without having to go spend money on a, you know, $3 or $4 bottle of water. So I would say, I mean, you know, they're little expenses, but they can add up. So if you're, you know, bringing your own bottle of water, filling it at a water fountain instead of buying bottles throughout the day, and if you're eating your own granola bar instead of buying, you know, a churro, then, you know, if you save $10 or $12 each day, that adds up pretty quick.
Yep. You're right. I think you might look at one of those expenses and say that's not that big a deal. But just as you mentioned, if you multiply it by the number of folks in your party and the number of days, it can add up quite a bit. I think the point about water is a really good one, especially because, you know, price of soda these days at the park is maybe $3.29, something like that, typically. So that gets very expensive very fast. You can get free ice water, just like you mentioned, by asking for it. I think some folks are put off by the mineral taste of water in Florida. As a local, I've kind of gotten used to it. Some folks may not like it, but still, then the water fountain, I think, might help with that a bit. So I think this is a very good idea and a way to take some of those secret expenses out of your vacation.
Yeah, it's something, you know, and it's an expense I don't think people think about when they're planning the trip, if they're not as experienced with Disney trip planning, where they're thinking, gee, we have the tickets, we have the hotel, we have the meals, we have the transportation, all these things. I don't think they realize some of the smaller expenses that are going to crop up, like snacks, you know, like souvenirs that we're going to talk about a bit later. And, you know, so I think, you know, people have their big budget, and then there's things that suddenly crop up they didn't expect. And if you kind of go in planning that and can mitigate that before you even get to the parks, then you'll be less surprised and things will be, you know, possibly a little bit better over the course of the trip.
Yep, definitely agree. Okay, that was a good one. Number one, to bring your own water, or sorry, bring your own snacks and use water to drink. For number two, I'm actually going to build on that with a similar idea, which is to bring your own breakfast. So a breakfast can be a pretty expensive meal. It'll be very expensive if you go to a buffet or a character dining experience. And it's easy to save money on a breakfast. So the same idea that you had for snacks with granola bars works really well for breakfast too. It's pretty easy to put Pop-Tarts or maybe something a little bit healthier in your suitcase so that you've got something to get your day off to a good start and you don't have to spend that money and really that time purchasing a breakfast or sitting down for a breakfast in one of the locations within the park. So I would say bring your own breakfast. That's also a good way to save a few dollars along the way.
Yeah, I mean, it may not be the healthiest thing in the world. When my wife and I were there a handful of years back for our honeymoon, we actually, the first day, bought a 12-pack of donuts and kept them in our room. And so every morning we, grab a donut. And not the healthiest thing in the world by any means. But, it gave us something to eat so we could just get out there. We didn't have to, go to the food court and deal with that. And then, we get to the parks and have an early lunch.
Yep.
And which was great too, because then you kind of miss the lunch crowd. If you're, if we would go to lunch at like 11 a.m., something like that, we're missing that like noon to two kind of crazy lunch crowd.
Yeah.
So we did, so we paid the one price to get the 12 pack of donuts, and that got us through, pretty much the trip. And that's obviously, take it with a grain of salt, because it's bad for you, and you might want that burst of protein and stuff in the morning to really get going, and instead of getting nothing but sugar. But we found it a quick and easy way to save some money and get out to the parks faster.
And my theory is that when you're on vacation, calories don't count, especially at Disney World, because you do so much walking. So you're going to burn it all off anyway. It's fine.
There we go. That works.
Okay, that was number two. Bring your own breakfast. Number three, Aaron, back to you.
So my next one, actually, you have to start kind of dealing with before you even get to the parks. So when you go on to, if you're doing it yourself and not going through a travel agent, and even if you are, I suppose, you see the Disney resorts, and they'll give you the prices generally based on a package. And that's the room and Disney tickets and possibly some other, bonuses like dining plans or whatever. And they'll say it's this much money for this package. And I think some people might think, okay, hey, that's a great deal. We get all these things for it, and we're going to go ahead and buy that. It's worth doing a little bit of extra research and seeing if it's cheaper to get everything a la carte as opposed to getting it as a package. So maybe getting the room by itself and then buying the ticket separately instead of getting them all together. In some cases, that can save money. In some cases, it doesn't. But in some cases, it can really save money. I did a trip a few years back now where my initial – I called Disney and we set it up, and I booked the package that came with the tickets and the room, and it was whatever the price was. And then I realized – I started looking at it online later and saw that they actually offered a discount on the room. I think they ended up having a sale. And called back and basically canceled the package, rebooked the room by itself, bought the ticket separately, and ended up being about $500 less than the package had been.
Wow.
Obviously, your mileage may vary based on the time of year, based on the package prices, based on, I have to be lucky and catch the rooms when they're offering a discount, which if that doesn't happen, that can change the prices as well. But it's worth getting all your options before you book something. Even if something happens afterwards, it's super easy to call Disney and change it, to either change the reservation or cancel and rebook. I've done it more than once. But, don't assume that the package deal is necessarily the best deal. It could be cheaper to go a la carte in that case.
Yeah, this is a great example of it where it really pays to do your homework. And so if you spend some extra time evaluating the options, you can often get a much better deal, just like you did with $500 savings. That's significant. So I would say spend some extra time to check out the options in different ways. I personally think that can be kind of fun to do. If you're the sort who doesn't really want to spend all that time doing the homework and trying the extra calculations, this can be where requesting the help of a travel agent can be a good idea as well. So shameless plug for my sponsor, Phil from Ear to Their Travel. So running the different options, I think, is a really good idea, and it can end up saving you a lot of money, just like you said, Aaron.
Yeah, it might not, but you don't know. It's worth that extra probably few hours of sitting at your computer looking everything up to see if it's going to save you any money.
Yep. Good. Number three, checking a la carte versus package prices. So number four is back over to me. One of the biggest drivers of the price of your Disney vacation is when you choose to go, the time of the year. So Disney recently instituted tiered pricing for the theme park tickets, and people kind of got very excited about that in a not so good way. So now certain days for certain parks will cost more or less depending on the demand for that time of year. But really, this is something that Disney has put in place with a much bigger ticket item, which is your resort room, for a long time, just like the industry has done, just like airlines do. So if demand is high, prices are higher. If demand is lower, then prices are lower. So when you go will make a huge difference on the cost. Now, I realize that many people don't have a lot of options for when they get to go. Work schedules and vacation time may dictate when you get to take your vacation. If you have some flexibility, though, and when you can go, it can make a big difference on the pricing. So generally speaking, if you are going during a holiday period or a time when kids are out of school, it's probably going to be more expensive. If you go during a time when kids are in school and it's not around the time of a holiday, it will probably be less. So Disney publishes calendars with the different seasons, which drive the prices for the resorts. And now there are similar calendars for the pricing on tickets. So check those out. The value season versus the prime time season, really big difference in the pricing. So when you go can make a big difference.
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, a lot of it does depend on your own personal schedule. If you've got kids in school, then you're kind of bound by that, or depending on your work schedule. But, you know, like I said earlier, I like to go in January, February, that time of year, to get away from the snow for a little while. And I often find things are less expensive. I've gotten some really good deals on hotels, on property, because yeah, they want to fill the rooms, and you know, some money's better than no money.
Yep.
You know, in their eyes, so it can be cheaper than it would be in the middle of July when, and that's just business. You know, obviously, when everyone wants to come, you want to up it to make as much operating budget as possible to get yourself through the quieter times. But September, October is often quieter. January, February, and those times of year, and like you said, like early December, can often be cheaper. So if you have the opportunity to look at those dates, that can be a good time to go. You know, make sure you check the events. You know, I just said September, October, but the Not So Scary Halloween party happens then, so that can jack up the prices. So, you know, check a few different dates and see what happens. Obviously, airlines too do the same thing. It can, you know, depending on, I found that if you fly in weekdays, it can be a little cheaper than if you fly on the weekends. So, you know, give yourself the flexibility, check all the options, and you might find some surprise rate, low rates you didn't expect.
Yeah, this is pretty similar to what we talked about with the a la carte versus package, where doing your homework can make a nice payoff for you sometimes if you catch a good deal.
Yeah, and it's tough because sometimes you don't. Sometimes you have to book it, and you're just kind of hoping you get the best rate that you can.
Yep.
You know, often with flights, I do that. I'll book it because I need the flight, and I'm just kind of hoping that 2 weeks later the price doesn't go down.
Yeah.
The good thing about Disney is you can often, like I said earlier, often correct it. If you book a resort on property, and 2 weeks later you see that they're offering a 30% off deal on the rooms that time of year, which happens from time to time, you can call Disney and you can work with their agents. And in my experience, they're pretty good about working with you to get the deal.
Yeah. And actually, you just made a good point that I don't know that we had on our list to call out separately, which is even after you've booked, it's still good to keep an eye on the prices because sometimes they'll go down even after you've made all of your plans. So I think that's a really good angle you're mentioning as well.
Yeah, and as you mentioned earlier, with the Disney travel agents, the authorized travel agents, if you do go through an authorized Disney agent, like Ear to Their Travel, I'll shameless plug. I don't even know the guy, but I'll plug him for you.
He thanks you.
Yeah, there we go. They actually do that for you. Yep. So if you go through someone like that, part of their job is to keep an eye on the prices, and if it changes, to go ahead and you know, book at the lower rate. So you know, if you're someone, especially if you're kind of a Disney newbie and you're kind of looking at all these options and overwhelmed by it, I think it's a lot of fun to plan the trip myself, but I've also been doing it for a long time. You know, so that's an option as well. It's kind of an offshoot from our list is possibly consider an agent. But if not, yeah, it definitely pays to every now and again pop online and check the room rate and see if it's changed at all.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. We packed a lot into that one. That was good. Number four. Number five, we're back over to you.
So similar to the a la carte versus packages from earlier, but this one deals with the Disney tickets, the actual park tickets themselves. Because, again, there's multiple options. There's different amounts of days, and then there's the park hopper versus not. If you had the park hopper on, it allows you to basically, just like I said, it's a hop between parks. You can get up in the morning, go to Magic Kingdom, go to Epcot in the afternoon, go to Animal Kingdom later on in the day, and go back to Magic Kingdom again. You can however you want to do it each day of the tickets. Whereas without the park hopper, it's just one park per day. So I think a lot of people just think, oh, park hopper, that's what we want, because we want to be able to you know, go from park to park. But sit and think before you buy the ticket if you're actually going to do that. Maybe you are, in which case you want the park hopper. I've done a lot of trips where I thought about it ahead of time and decided that I wasn't going to be going between parks each day, and it was just kind of one park per day, and save the money, because it does add a per day cost to your Disney tickets. So it's something to sit and think about, again, doing some advanced planning and thinking, okay, you know, we're here for 4 days, we want to do Epcot, Wonderland Kingdom, and decide how you want to break it down before you just buy the ticket and assume you're going to need it, because you can always add the park hopper on later, but you can't subtract it. So if you buy, if you know you're going to go and you know you're going to be there for 3 days, and you break down and buy a 3-day non-park hopper ticket, you've got your 3 days, you're set. And even if you get to the parks that morning and you're like, you know what, we're going to do Epcot in the morning and Hollywood Studios at night, so we need the park hopper. You can go to any guest service desk. You can go to the concierge at your hotel. Say, I've got a 3-day ticket, and they can just charge you the extra and add the park hopper right on. So it pays to think about what your plans are going to be, and it may pay to just buy the base ticket to start and add the park hopper later if you need it, rather than add it and then never use it.
Yeah. This is another example, it seems, of doing your homework. And so people ask me about tickets sometimes, and the number one piece of advice I say is don't wait to buy your tickets when you show up. And most people do book things in advance, and it's part of a package, or they've done some research ahead of time. But I think the thing you don't want to do is show up on the first day of your vacation, walk up to the ticket booth, and then be presented with all these options on water park and more and park hopper and number of days. And it's overwhelming. You want to make a decision. You just want to get going and probably say, oh, I'll just give me everything and let me go. So taking that time to do some research is important. And so figuring out, just like you say, do you really need the park hopper? It is something you can add on later. I think also considering what time of day you're going to arrive and leave, and do you need a park ticket for that first day or that last day, depending on the sort of package you might build. So a lot of folks enjoy going over to Disney Springs, and there's a ton to do there for their last day, so they don't have to have another park ticket. So there are a lot of options. It pays to think ahead and look at your options before you show up.
Yeah, and like you said, generally buying tickets early is a good thing. You know, that's where you can do your fast passes. And I think that having an idea of which park you want to do, which day of your trip, is a good thing. You know, you don't want to get there and just not even know what you're doing, because, like you said, you're gonna panic, and you're probably gonna buy more than you need.
Yeah.
I'm also going to warn people about, you know, you may be tempted in the quest to save money, like we all want to do, to go online and search for, like, discounted Disney tickets. There are some reputable sources to do that. Undercover Tourist is one that I've used before, and they're an authorized Disney reseller. But be careful, because there's a lot of places that advertise discounted Disney tickets that are not Disney authorized, and you end up having a lot more trouble than it's worth. You know, so if you're really trying to you know, score deal. You know, the general rule of thumb is if it looks like that much of a good thing, then you have to question it. So, yeah, I would say, you know, be careful with that. That's just kind of a side note there, because I know people ask me about tickets sometimes, too, and they're like, oh, gee, there are other places to get discount tickets. And generally, if you see a place offering it hundreds of dollars less than Disney, then you have to question how they're doing that.
Yeah.
And you know, quick search of reviews or Better Business Bureau searches can often find out that they're not quite as reputable as they claim to be.
Yeah, that is a great point. And I think that ties into, too, the fact that tickets are non-transferable. They are tied to an analysis of your fingerprint, not your fingerprint exactly. But so used tickets are a no-no. If you're driving down Route 192 in Florida and you're seeing all these great deals, they're usually going to be connected to a timeshare. So you're going to have to spend 2 or 3 or 4 hours in a very high-pressure sales situation to get your ticket. So just like you say, if it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. Disney is the only source of Disney tickets, and they don't normally cut the price of them. There are a few places, like you said, Aaron, which are authorized resellers where you can get a bit of a discount. But generally speaking, there's no free lunch when it comes to your Disney ticket.
Pretty much. So yeah. So it's just, you know, while the idea of saving that much money is tempting, just, you know, be careful.
Yes.
It is the very roundabout point here.
Yep. Buyer beware.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Number six, back over to me. So this one may ruffle a few feathers, but when you go to Walt Disney World, you are going to see amazing things in the shops, from $5 refrigerator magnets to $35,000 glass replica castles. The merchandise is amazing. It's displayed in attractive ways. It's good quality. And most folks will want to get something to take home as a memento of their trip. And actually, I think it's a great thing to plan for. But if you are looking for ways to slice as much money as possible off of your trip, souvenirs is a place where you can do it. So if you have kids, it's possible to stop by Target and find things that have Disney characters on them and bring them along so your kids can have something new and special during the trip without having to buy it in the parks. Now, the quality won't be the same. I think that what you buy in the parks is the best quality merchandise. Really, it's sort of night and day compared to what you might see at JCPenney or Target or somewhere else. But again, if you're looking for a place to cut back, that can be a way to do it. Deciding that you have a budget ahead of time and sticking to it is another way to try to reduce what you spend on souvenirs, because everything you can see in the stores is going to be very tempting. So another spot where it plans to have a conversation before you show up, think ahead, maybe have a budget in mind, so you can at least cap the souvenirs, if not skip them.
Definitely. And, you know, I was actually going to suggest, if you didn't, the thing about stopping at like a Target or, you know, something like that along the way and buying Disney themed stuff to give to the kids throughout the day.
Yeah.
And above and beyond that, so, I mean, obviously you want to remember your trip, and there's some souvenirs that are great. I've got a vast collection of Disney t-shirts and a couple of hats and more, and I've got a sizable collection of pins just collected from over the years. And obviously you want things to remember your trip by, but one of the things you really have to be careful about, and one of the things you can really, you know, as an offshoot to what you're saying earlier, where you can really save money elsewhere, is what I call the consumable souvenirs. And that's something, so at night, especially when people are ramping up for the parades and the fireworks, stuff like that, you're going to see little Disney pop-up cart shops, etc., selling the light-up glow stick things, the light-up necklaces, and the fiber optic wands with the things like that. And, you know, and the kids like to wear those because they light up and they're colorful and they're fun. And that's cool. You can also get those at the dollar store,
mm-hmm.
your local dollar store. So, you know, and yeah, like you said, the quality might not be as good, but you know, there's things like that that are, you know, it'll last for a few hours and then it's going to die and it's going to be gone forever. So if you think it's something that your kid's going to want, if you think your kid's going to be, you know, really wanting like a light up necklace to wear during the electrical parade, go grab a pack of them for a dollar or two, throw them in your bag, bring them with you.
Yeah.
You know, just like you were saying earlier, I think there's ways to maximize the money. You know, I think there's ways to maximize your souvenir budget. I think pin trading is a great way to do that. Because for an investment to get like a starter kit and a lanyard and all this, whatever, you're kind of constantly changing your stock in a way. So if you see a cast, if you or your child or you know whoever has some pins ready to trade, and you see a cast member with a Tinkerbell pin that you really want, trade with them, and now you have a Tinkerbell pin. Then just don't trade that one. Now you have the pin. So, you know, there's ways to kind of have some fun with it, but still not necessarily buy every pin you see. You know.
Yeah. Yep. And when you get there will be many temptations.
oh, believe me, I know. I think it's best if I just never go into Memento Mori, the Haunted Mansion shop, because I will walk out having spent money.
Yeah, the Art of Disney stores are like that for me. I mean, there are just so many amazing things. And there are things where when it's offered in the park, it's probably not something you're going to see exactly in that way and quality and format somewhere else. So that's all the more pressure to want to buy it. You know, sticking to your guns, planning ahead, being smart in what you choose to buy or not buy, as you said, are all good ways that you can, you can plan that budget in advance.
What my wife and I do is, I mean, it's just the two of us. We're adults. You know, we don't have kids asking for things, and we have me asking for things, which is a little different. You know, what we tend to do is we'll each kind of be able to buy like one, you know, nice thing for ourselves over the course of the trip. You know, on our trip to, last trip to Walt Disney World, I saw an Epcot hat, an old school style Epcot Center hat that I fell in love with. And shopped, you know, and I didn't buy it right away. Went around the rest of the day. We looked at other products. And at the end of the day, I was like, no, this is what I want as my, you know, souvenir of this trip. And went back to the shop that I found it at and bought it. So that's an add-on to that too, is maybe shop around a bit and you know, you'll see something you absolutely want, but then next shop over, you see something else you really want. So maybe go back at the end of the day and get what you're going to get instead of buying it first thing. And you may find something even better. We do buy a lot of pins, but we buy them to commemorate things. So if we're staying in a resort, we'll buy a pin for that resort because you're only spending like $8 instead of you know, more than that. Mm-hmm. So there's ways to still get what you want, but be smart about it.
Yep, definitely agree. All right, good list. Top six ways to save money at Disney World. Number one, bring your own snacks and get water in the parks. Number two, bring your own breakfast. Number three, compare a la carte versus packages. Number four, select your time of the year for your visit carefully. Number five, select your tickets carefully. And number six, skip or cap the souvenirs. Aaron, fun list. So if people are interested in what you're up to these days, how can they get in touch with you?
Well, they can go over and they can read my Disney blog. I highly recommend and politely ask that they do that. And that is Magic and Misadventures. So they can head on over to magicandmisadventures.com and read my thoughts on mostly Disney World, but there's some Disneyland and some other stuff thrown in there as well. And it's anything ranging from do-it-yourself projects to ranting about, you know, rumors to talking about my time as a cast member to, you know, just discussing really anything. It's all over the map. And once they get to magicandmisadventures.com, there are links to Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, all my social media outlets. So they should check that out.
Yeah, I also recommend Magic and Misadventures. It's a fun site. I love the angle that you put on things, and I learn something new when I visit. So I will recommend that as well. And Aaron, thanks again for joining me today. This was a fun conversation.
Yeah, thank you. Hope it helps people.
Head out today to the music of Frontierland. And yes, we've made it through the list of the top six ways to save money at Disney World, but our conversation isn't over. I'd like to hear what you think about our list. Do you have a comment? You can leave that comment on the show notes page by visiting worldofwalt.com/87, a page that works nicely for tablets, smartphones, and desktops. Leave your comments in the comments section and check out what other people are thinking as well. I'd like to thank everyone who's been in touch, and I'd like to invite you to follow me on social media, facebook.com/worldofwalt and pinterest.com/worldofwalt. If you enjoyed today's podcast, I would appreciate it if you would spread the word. Tell your family and your friends about it. To wrap up for today, I would, as always, like to give you a heartfelt thank you for spending some of your time with me. I'd also like to thank everyone who visits the worldofwalt.com site, where you can read interesting Disney articles and chat with other folks who enjoy Disney in the forums and in the comments sections. By listening here and by visiting the site, you allow me to share the fun of Disney with you, and that is very cool. Thanks for being a part of it. So until next time, my friend, may God bless you.
So there's a great big beautiful tomorrow, shining at the end of every day. There's a great big beautiful tomorrow, just a dream away.